your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that extended segment with Doc, where he breaks down just exactly how he sees the gold sector specifically on a long-term sense. Again, if you're listening on the radio, please visit our website, kereport.com, and listen to that full interview. In this segment, I am chatting with Brian Lenny. He is the founder of JuniorStockReview.com and becoming one of my favorite guests to talk to about how he is viewing and trading or managing his portfolio of precious metals, well, and really just any resource stock. Now, Brian, you and I were chatting off mic, and you mentioned how you have been taking some profit as certain stocks have been moving higher in this more or less rising precious metals environment. I think it's interesting to see that when some stocks are moving, and again, it's still select stocks that are moving higher, simply on the back of a rising metals environment, it can be easy to get greedy and hold these positions thinking that maybe when news comes out, it's just going to scream even higher. Please share with us why you have at least trimmed some positions. Not saying you're selling all of it, but at least taking some money and some gains.
Sure. So we've talked about before how I try my best to remain neutral on metal price movements. You know, I definitely watch it, but I stay neutral and try to focus on the fundamentals of why I buy a company. With that said, though, you know, there is, you know, a variation in my confidence in the different companies that I invest in. And for that reason, and especially lately with the volatility that we've sort of seen in the last couple of days, I'm more than willing to take profits on a company that's moved, you know, 30%, you know, in 2 weeks since I bought it, basically on no news. And I'll take that profit every day of the week. And, you know, that's something that I had to learn, you know, the hard way. And in the past, I might have been more greedy and wanted to wait for, you know, that double or triple or whatever I had in mind for that stock. But today, with the way that I look at investing, you know, when you're given good returns, and I believe 30% is very good, and it's based off no news, I think you should take it. And, you know, with the way the market is, you probably get an opportunity to buy it back at the price that you originally bought it at, you know, a couple of weeks previous. And so in those kind of terms, I like that.
Now, what about if there is news on tap, though? We know that a lot of companies have drill programs underway, and those drill programs, especially if they're up north, will be winding down soon. So we will start to get some news coming out when it comes to drill results. Again, though, the stock, let's say it has moved 30% in a couple weeks, but you know that drill results are right around the corner. Are you still trimming some positions and waiting maybe for that pullback to take some more?
Yeah, absolutely. And it always depends, you know, and it goes back to that confidence in what I'm seeing and what I originally thought of the company. You know, when that profit is there, I think it needs to be taken. But in the other side to that is, if you are hyper-confident in a company and you've done the due diligence to say, okay, you know, if they do hit, this is what it could be worth. And, you have a good idea of that, then you know what, there's nothing wrong with holding onto it either. And that's how a lot of people have made a lot of money in this sector. But it all comes back to how confident you are in what you've done and what the how confident you are in the company in executing what they've set out to do. So if you have a good idea between those two points, then I think there's nothing wrong with holding. And I still do hold the number of positions. Conversely, there's nothing wrong with a 30% gain.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that kind of a gain that quickly, plus freeing up some cash. When you have been selling some of these positions, or at least trimming some of the positions, have you noticed that you've been rotating that money pretty quickly into other stocks that you think are undervalued, or are you more sitting on that cash?
Lately, I've actually been sitting on it. The last couple of days, a few of the companies that I've been following, you know, they're coming back a bit. And like I mentioned, I think I'm going to have the opportunity to buy them, at the prices that I originally did in some cases, you know, about a month back, which to me is great. You know, I get another kick at the can and, you know, the drill results for most of these companies still haven't come in yet. So yeah, you know, it's kind of the same as normal for me. But I have been holding on to stuff a little bit longer than I usually do.
All right. Now, what about these companies that have drill programs underway? I know from your background as an engineer, you like to actually dive into the resource, build your own models. But the fact of the matter is, some of the drilling, at least over the last couple of years, if you want to move stock, it needs to be exploration drilling. But then you're always stuck with, well, you need to de-risk the actual resource by doing some infill drilling. Do you have a preference, or have you noticed your positions more shading towards one or the other, companies that are doing more infill drilling, trying to de-risk a project, or more exploration drilling?
That's a great question. To be honest, I haven't thought of it in that way. I think, again, it all depends. With companies that have already delineated, like roughly, like an inferred resource, and they're moving towards moving those resources up into measured and indicated, you know what? To me, depending on the deposit type, and again, the people that are running it, there probably should be a higher degree of confidence in those drill results coming to fruition. And then, therefore, I would probably more likely to hold that company to see that resource move up. And then, you know, probably following that, these guys are going to look at an economic study, which I believe, you know, that speculative engine can work in your favor.
Okay, fair enough. Also, let's talk about, again, the balance between high grade and low grade. High grade just continues to be looked at more favorably. And you look at some of these low grade deposits, which could be or are in good jurisdictions, those stocks still just are not moving with this rising gold environment. So what do you think? Do you think that there is almost a sweet spot in some of these lower grade deposits that when more money comes into the sector, especially in terms of maybe majors looking at some deposits, that these stocks do or will have their chance to shine?
I think in the end, you know, the market acts, I guess in the short term, what I've heard is the market acts like a voting machine. In the long term, it acts as a weighing machine, meaning that in the long term, the actual value of a project is realized because, you know, smart investors are able to identify them. I think if you're an investor and you're concentrated only on high grade, I think you're missing a huge portion of the market because really all that matters in the end is economics. You know, the high grades might be flashy, but if the gold is refractory or if it's, you know, 2 kilometers below surface, these things can make it, you know, diminish the flashiness of the high grade, maybe even make it uneconomic. So I personally try never to put a blinder onto the project, given what the grade of the deposit is. More, what is it with the combination of elements and what does that look like economically to make my decision? And ultimately, I think everybody would benefit from that type of viewpoint.
Now, what about when you're building your models now with the gold price a couple $100 higher than it was just a few months ago? Are you changing a lot of your models to readjust to, let's say, a $1,500 or $1,550 gold price, or are you more slowly upping maybe some of your estimates?
Actually, that's a great question. It's something I've been putting a lot of thought into. And in my mind, I only see higher gold prices in the future, besides any little fluctuations. You look at the stuff that's going on around the world, you know, I believe it was the Germans that did the 30-year bond with a negative yield. If people sit back and think about what that actually means, I think you would be prone to thinking there was something is wrong with this world that we're living in financially. You know, lowering interest rates in the U.S., further talk of QE, trade wars, civil unrest between Hong Kong and China. All of these things lead me to believe that, you know, things are becoming just more and more chaotic. And because of that, you know, gold or precious metals are acting like insurance, and their value is increasing with the increased risk. And I only see that, you know, staying the way it is in the future, or if not increasing. So therefore, I have actually been using 1500 in my models, and I've got a higher degree of confidence that we'll see those levels moving forward.
Well, we're going to wrap it up there, Brian. I am really looking forward to getting together with you again in Beaver Creek. I know that we both have a pretty full schedule of meetings, but it will be great to kind of recap some of the companies that caught our eyes and even share some of the companies that we liked with all of our audience when I am back more next week. As I mentioned, this following week will be pretty slow in terms of posting just because, well, I'm going to be very busy at Beaver Creek. But hey, in the meantime, great chatting with you, Brian. Pleasure to have you on the show. See you soon in Beaver Creek and have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.